Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. April 20th is the anniversary of the Columbine High School murders, which left 15 dead, dozens injured, and, of course, left the nation in shock. Not enough has been made of one of the perpetrators, Eric Harris's atheism. The reason we know so much about it is because he wrote so much. He kept journals. He made videotapes. He had diaries where he laid out his philosophy, his worldview. He believed in survival of the fittest. He thought he was the product of natural selection and superior in intellect to all those around him. He also apparently was a psychopath. This is what he wrote. I feel like God. I am higher than almost anyone in this effing world in terms of universal intelligence. He titled his journal, The Book of God. And, of course, he did not believe in God. He believed in himself. That was his God. I'm ashamed to be part of the same species as some of these people. I would love to be the ultimate judge and say if a person lives or dies, be godlike. I want to grab some weak little freshmen, just tear them apart like a wolf, show them who is God. That's the kind of statements that flood through his diary. He was a hater, and he justified his hatred by appealing to his version of natural selection. He wrote that mankind, wrongly and stupidly, continues interfering with nature's sorting out of the fit from the unfit. Compassion for the weak was stupid. Let the weak die off before they can reproduce. Our culture's efforts to produce medicines and special education programs are protecting humans that nature should be allowed to eliminate. Dave Cullen is probably the greatest expert on Columbine. He's written the book by that name. And when he was on this program, he said, so Eric was surrounded by inferiors who would not shut their freaking mouths. He couldn't restore the natural order because he could impose some selection of his own. He would sacrifice himself to accomplish it. He could never get enough of this God is dead, Nietzschean Superman, or Thomas Hobbes' phrase, life is nasty, brutish, and short. He said, Cullen, and read through all of Harris's moralistic essays, moral imperatives, Harris wrote, are situational. Absolutes are imaginary. Therefore, I can kill anyone I want. And he was also an adolescent, and he also made provocative statements, as many adolescents do. Was he insane? Well, after examining the wealth of material produced by Harris, videos, essays, journals, the FBI's expert clinical psychologist said that he saw no moral confusion, no mental illness. Eric demonstrated his sanity by his ability to navigate such tricky terrain. He got the satisfaction of warning us in yet another way, without giving himself away. Harris and Dylan Klebold, his partner, did not snap because jocks and bullies pushed them to the breaking point. No, their pot of hatred simmered for a year and a half as they weighed the benefits of a killing spree. They'd settled on the approximate time and location a year before. Now, we know less about Dylan Klebold's motivations because he was not so philosophical. He didn't rant that way. There's no doubt, though, that Harris felt justified because of his superior mind and his willingness to discard society's rules that were designed to protect the weak. The two of them wanted to just overwhelm the public, awe the public, with the extent of their destruction. And so they left behind, deliberately, notebooks, journals, budgets, schedules, maps, videos. Harris wanted to show the world how glorious he was. Klebold wanted to get back at the world that he found so glorious, but it did not return the compliment. Harris wanted to say, I'll show you how superior I am. Klebold wanted to show how much he had been hurt. Atheism has consequences. Jeffrey Dahmer is another example of someone who appealed to atheism and materialism to justify his killing spree. Now, in prison, Dahmer reportedly placed his faith in Christ and renounced his former atheism and materialism and repented of his sadistic and brutal crimes. There's a very disquieting interview with Stone Phillips in which Jeffrey Dahmer and his father, Lionel, try to explain Jeffrey's perversion. And Jeffrey says that in growing up, he didn't feel accountable to any higher law, because I always believed the lie that materialistic evolution was the truth, and that we all just came from the slime, and when we died, that was it. There's nothing. The whole theory cheapens life. His father steps in at that point and says, at that period of time, I had drifted away from a belief in a supreme being, and I never, as a result, passed along the feeling that we are all accountable in the end. He, that is God, owns us. That basic concept is very fundamental to all of us, end quote. And Philip then asks Lionel, again, Dahmer's dad, you feel that the absence, at least for a little while, of a strong religious belief may have prevented you from instilling that belief in Jeff? Is that how you feel? And then Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer, actually replies. He says, yes, I think it had a big part to do with it. I mean, if you as a person don't think there is a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? Well, that's what I thought anyway, end quote. Now, I'm not saying, of course, that all atheists are given to murder any more than I'm saying that all Christians are given to sacrificial love. But when Christians live out a life of sacrificial love, they are living out the logical consequence of their discipleship of Jesus. Atheists don't, for the most part, live out the logical consequences of their beliefs. An atheistic universe in which humans are the measure of all things and this world is the end of all things means that human beings are not accountable in the end to any great moral law, and that ultimately we're not much more than 25 cents worth of chemicals. The British atheist philosopher John Gray mocks all these secular humanists who are atheists but continue to prate about human dignity. He mocks them because they're dishonest. They're still living off the Christian belief that all human beings are made in the image and likeness of God and are intrinsically valuable, even with all of our shortcomings. Gray's willing to bite the bullet. He says if human beings were created by impersonal, directionless, natural forces that had no prevision of the end they were achieving, then how can we claim that a human person has any intrinsic dignity or that life has a purpose? And many atheists, of course, refuse to live in accord with the belief that God is dead. Because if God is dead, that means objective morality is also dead. And that means that human dignity crumbles into a heap of collectivized atoms and electrochemical impulses. I remember speaking to an atheist philosopher who was a very good, decent man, good, kind man. I asked him if, as an atheist, he thought life had a purpose. And he said, no, life as a whole does not have a purpose. And then I asked him, well, if life has no overarching purpose, why get out of bed in the morning? He said, well, it's easy. I find purpose in my various academic and social projects. And I said, well, aren't you smuggling in the idea of purpose then? After all, your projects might entertain you. They might stimulate you. But in the end, they have no purpose. And your efforts, no matter how noble, no matter how ingenious, will only crumble into nothingness. And he said, well, probably so, but I don't think about that. Now, I should have asked him, are you saying that life has no purpose, but we need to pretend that it does if we're to stay motivated? That is, in fact, what the late pop psychologist Wayne Dyer said early on in his career. I don't know where he ended up, but he said in answer to a question, Mr. Dyer, does life have a purpose? And Dyer said, no, but we need to pretend that it does. Eric Harris and Jeffrey Dahmer invented their own purpose. For Harris, it was to play the role of a cruel god eliminating all humans he considered unworthy of life. For Dahmer, it was to satisfy his own bloodlust and cannibalistic desires. The truth is, though, that Harris and Dahmer are small players on the world scene. Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler are the big players. They eliminated human beings who would not conform to their large vision of the Communist Party or the ideal of the Führer. You know, this is one of the things that I think we have to get more serious about. And that is, we should ask people to live out the logical, if they want to live out the logical implications of their beliefs. Because what happens is when people do make bold to live out the logical consequences of atheism, people suffer. And it's gotten to be a little hypocritical for people to talk about the so-called violent consequences of religious faith. And where people will say, well, look at Catholics and Protestants in Ireland, or, talk about the Crusades and things of this sort. Well, all those things are worth pointing out, but it's also important to sort out what the religious motivations actually were and what the political motivations were. The door swings both ways on this. And I find Christians are reluctant to actually think through the logical implications of atheism and to push those logical implications. Because the truth is, most atheists are living off the ethical and moral capital that Christianity has invested in the Western culture in which they've been raised. This has been pointed out, actually, by honest atheists like Luke Perry in his short little History of Philosophy, where he talks about the change that came upon the intellectual world after the idea of the Logos became popular through Christianity. There was an earlier Greek idea of the Word, okay, this intelligence that ran through life. But it was only after Christians claimed that that Logos had become flesh and that that Logos had taught that we have an obligation to both God and other human beings, that life began to change in this world. Since the coming of Christ, human life has elevated the ideal of sacrificial love to a position that it never had in the ancient world. The ancient world did not have hospitals which were open to the weak, the suffering, and the poor. Christianity made that happen. And it's time for us to actually look at all the extraordinary gifts that the world has received because of the incarnation and because Jesus continues to operate through his body, the church in the world. We ought to get ourselves sharp in this area because we're going to have to do a lot of fighting back in the future.